Jesus, we love you. We thank you. Just speak through me today and help me to keep my mouth closed where it needs to be closed and open where it needs to be open. I pray that you'll help me be as clear as I possibly can and take this little and make it something special. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in a series, probably one more week, on James. And we've been studying through James. We're going to be in James 5 today. You can go on and turn there, James 5. Going to look at we're going to smoosh James and Paul together today. So James and Paul are going to speak today on our topic that we're going to talk about. We're in this series called Rock Solid Faith. And what does it mean to have a rock solid faith? Well, it means to be sure that your life is built on something that when the storms and the horrible things come, you don't succumb to it. You don't give up and just say, I quit and I'm going to just phone it all in. And so it's important to understand that what a rock-solid faith is. And so today we're going to talk about in weakness, we gain new strength. In weakness, we gain new strength. And being weak is a good thing for a Jesus person. Being weak is a hard thing for a Jesus person because we live in a culture that says weakness is bad, strong is good. And so we live in that culture. There's a song that got me thinking about this week. I listen to a lot of alternative stuff on WTTS. There's a group called Zach Brown. I don't know if any of you are Zach Brown fans at all, but if you know Zach Brown, he has a song called "Everything I Want and Nothing I Need," and he's of course talking about a girl. And I liken it to the fact that it's our relationship with God, because our strength, I believe, gives us everything we want, but nothing we need. And our weakness gives us what we really need. And that's what God intended for. He intended for us to have that weakness, to live that weakness out, so that what we can accomplish then through our weakness is so much more than through our strength, because our strength is it runs out. Our patience runs out. Our love runs out. Our kindness runs out. And so I want you to think along those lines. And sometime I'm going to use that song because I love the gist of what he's talking about. Not about the girl, but about what he's talking about. Because that's the church. The church has got everything it wants, but nothing really it needs. All we need is Jesus. And let's take off with that today. James talks about two different kinds of problems in your life in chapter 5 here. He talks about weakness and he talks about an illness. Today we're not going to talk about the illness portion, because he even says when you're weak, call the elders, or when, because it has different meanings in it. Call the elders and have them anoint you. We should do that. We should be doing that. When you're sick, call the elders, have them come and anoint you. That's a given. There's no that's not something that was done away just because others don't do it. But the weakness, I think, the portion that he's talking about is people who will admit that inside of them, they have this longing to be more, but they continue to just push and push and push and not show anybody their weakness. And somehow we've gotten the message that when we share weakness, when we share that we're having a hard time, when we're sharing that we're not making it, when we share things with people, that they're going to somehow look down on us. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. Now, there's no doubt about it in the church that many have done that, have many have tried to share their weakness with somebody, and somebody then either laughs at them or tells their weakness to somebody else. And that becomes a problem too. Because when you share a weakness, that is a gift. That is a real gift when somebody shares the weakness with you and you share it with somebody else instead of just keeping it for who it is. And so when we start thinking about launching into small groups and life groups and being a small church of who we are, we've got to remember that when somebody gifts us with their weakness, when somebody tells us their weakness, we need to take it seriously and walk alongside them. And also pray for them as they walk through that weakness, because when we see them walk that weakness out, it will become a very incredible strength in the kingdom of God. So in weakness, we gain strength. That's a weird phrase, But let's tackle it here in James 5, verse 16, says this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up if they have sinned. They will be forgiven. And then he goes, right after that, there's the weakness portion. And then he says this, ta-da. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Don't let that slide away. Don't let that slide away. So you will be healed. You confess your sins not to get them out. You confess them so you will be healed. God starts the healing process. God heals us when we confess our sins to other people because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and it's effective. How does God do that? Well, there's several different steps, and that's why I want to smoosh and bring Paul in here because Paul talks about weaknesses and strengths a lot. And so I'm using James as a starting point, and I would use Paul as a closing point. Let's start out with this. How do we do that? What are the different steps? The first one is this. You've got to identify what your weaknesses are. If you don't know what your weaknesses are, nobody else does. If you don't know where it is that you're weak, you've got an issue. Romans 12:3, Paul says this, for it is by grace you've given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. You've got to have this idea of who you are. And you've got this I'm enough. You most certainly are not enough. You most certainly are not even close to being enough. And so, but we think oftentimes and we act like we are enough and we barrel through into things. See, I can't work on a weakness until I call out my weakness, until I say, this is what my weakness is. And if I identify my weakness, then I can begin the trek towards healing. Then I can identify where God wants me to go with my life. The Bible basically, Paul's basically saying, be honest with yourself and don't overestimate yourself because you're not enough. You are not even close. Don't think of yourself better than you are. And we do that so much, and we do it in our heads because we're like, oh, I'm not like them. I'm not like them over there. I don't do what they do. I don't participate in that. I'm not. And what that does is it brings this arrogance in us that comes. You have to have this balance in your life. If God is your God, then it starts with saying, I know where it is, I'm weak, and then I'm going to allow God to transform my weakness into strength. He does that. I don't, because I don't have very much. So identify my weakness. Number two, allow God to use my weakness. Allow him to use the weakness that I have. I know what it is now, and so God, here, would you use my weakness? I need to learn how God wants to see that weakness, and then if he sees it, he's already sees it, but if I identify it, then I give it to him, he does something with that weakness. How is God going to use the thing that it makes you weak? The thing that you look at and go, man, I don't even know what to do with this. Well, I got several things that I want to talk about with this because this is important because we get stuck here as a church. We get stuck here as people of God. And so the first thing I want to share with you is this, that weakness keeps us from being arrogant. Weakness keeps us from being conceited. When we know our weakness is, then we don't think that we've got it all together. He says this, 2 Corinthians 12:7. Paul says this, and I think it's on the, I think I put it up there. I want to make sure I did. I did. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. It's Paul, a messenger of Satan to torment me. There's what it was. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. God, get it out of me. Get away from me. But he said to me every time, My grace is sufficient for you. All you need is my grace. For my power is made perfect. Listen, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more. If I'm going to boast about anything more godly, about more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power rests on me. When you want to boast about anything, you boast about your weakness. You boast about being weak. You're saying that God allowed a messenger to attack Paul? Yes, he did. He allows those kinds of things. And because what it does is it gives us an opportunity. It gives us an opportunity to say, my weakness is there, but my God is stronger than anything that's going to come at me. My weakness should keep me from being conceited, from being arrogant, from thinking that I got this when I actually don't got this. Because that's what we think. I got it. You know, I can't tell you how many times that has hurt my life. When I try to do things on my own and not in God's power and in his timing. So my weakness should keep me from being conceited. Number two, my weakness should cause me to value other people more. I should look at other people not as a burden. I should look at other people not as something I can get from them. I should look at other people as not as something that just takes up time, but I should look at them with value, that they are important and God has them in my sphere. God has them in my influence because there's something he wants me to do in them and them to do in me. Don't ever take a relationship where God brings somebody into your sphere for granted. There's something he wants to do in your life. 1 Corinthians 12:22, Paul says this, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You can't look at one part of the body, can't say to the other part of the body, just get away. Leave me alone. I need you. You need me. We all need each other. And what will make this church part of what God wants it to be is when we get the idea that we are a body. And then when the hand is hurting, the eye sees it. And when the hand is hurting, the mouth says something about it. And when the hand is hurting, the other hand says, what can I do? It may be pray. It may be move in with them and closer and see where you're supposed to go. You cannot just let people go through stuff and claim to be a part of the body of Christ. You want a big smack on your hand? There it is today. Because we let that happen so much because we get caught up in the me now. Because I'm doing me. We're saving for future. We're working extra jobs, so we've got the future. But what about now? What about right now? You're not, remember last week, you're not guaranteed yesterday, tomorrow. You're only guaranteed today. And you're not guaranteed that very long. I do not complete myself. But a lot of us are living like that. I complete me. You laugh at that, but that's the way you live. You know, I'll take care of my abode. I'll take care of my comfort. I'll take care of this. Darn the torpedoes for everybody else. Sorry. That's a problem, church. That's a problem. How will God use my weakness? My weakness should make me more dependent on God. When you have identified your weakness, it should make you more dependent, so where you lean on him more and you trust him more and you allow him to have space in your life to move and go where you need to go and when you need to get there. Because when I realize when I can't do something on my own and I can only do it through God, then God starts doing what only God does in our life. Corinthians says this, 12:9. This is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness. This is why I delight in insults and hardships and in persecutions and in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. For I'm weak, I'm strong. God says my power shows up best in weak people. Shows up best in weak people. You feeling powerless today? You feeling like everything you do is just not working? That's a good place to be, because that's where God wants. He's trying to meet you. He's trying to meet you, and he wants to take you someplace. He wants to take you someplace you've not been. He wants to take you someplace he wants you to go. Quit just phoning it in. Stop just getting by. Quit the things that you're doing that are producing the same results over and over again. That's insanity. It's insanity. And you're expecting those things to somehow bring you joy. You're expecting those things to bring you peace. That's not what's going to happen. Paul says, glory in your weakness. I do. I do, he says. Three times the enemy came at me. Three times. Well, the enemy comes at us a lot more than that, it seems like, but he asked God, God, take this away. I don't like this. I don't like what's going on in me. Take it away. And God's simple, God-like answer was to him is, my grace is enough. My grace is enough, Buckwheat. That's it. That's all you need. My grace. My grace is enough. God doesn't use perfect people. God doesn't. He can't get to them because they think they already got it all that they need. He can't use the perfect people that you seem to see out there. He uses broken people who say, my life is a mess. But God isn't. God has a different story for my life. And then lastly, my weakness should give me a ministry. My weakness gives me a ministry. God wants to use your weakness in your life as long as you live. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says this. Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we may comfort others in trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. See, we get comfort. We give comfort. We don't hoard comfort. We don't hoard blessings. We give comfort. We give blessings. When we are blessed, we don't just stick them in the vault. We give them away. Our weakness gives us a ministry. If you go through problems, and all of you are, can't help anybody else, it seems like, when you're going through a problem. But that's the time that God wants you to help others. If you didn't have the weakness you had, you're never going to be able to help anybody else because you think that nobody else needs help. But when you realize you've been hurting, you go look for people like you. You go look for people like you that are hurting. You go look for people who have had loss in their life. You go look for people who have lost somebody special to them, and you walk alongside of them. You have been through addiction, and you know what addiction is. You go alongside somebody who is addicted. You know what it is to be addicted. You know someone who's lost a child or someone who's lost a job because you've lost jobs. And then it makes a difference to you because when somebody just notices and says, can I pray for you? Can I pray? What can I do for you as you're walking through this? I want you to know, for every one of you, I wish I could just come along with a big old Kleenex and just wipe it all away. I'm sorry for the pain every one of you have gone through. I'm sorry for the pain that you're going through right now because a lot of you are wearing it. You're wearing it like a badge. Here it is, my pain. And it's not yours to wear. It's Jesus's. And I'm sorry that you've gone through what you're going through. But here's what I came to say today. You didn't just go through that divorce for your own good sake. You went through that divorce because God has somebody else he wants you to reach. God never wastes a pain, and neither should you. You should never waste a pain, because when you go through a pain, it means God has somebody, he's going to put somebody in your life, and you choose to reach out and to help in that pain, or you choose to turn around and walk the other way. That's damning a little bit today. That's damning on the church. That's damning on me. That's damning on some of you. That we go and we look and we see the train wreck of people's lives and we allow them to continue to go on. Oh, look at that train wreck. Good job over there. Hope you get through it. Go, go, go. That's the way we treat it. Never waste a pain, church. It's so important. That's the power of a small group. That's the power of a spiritual buddy. That's the power of a mentor. That's the power of somebody you can trust and say, I'm going to come to you and I want to be vulnerable and I want to be authentic. That's what is missing in our church and in so many churches around the world. We're afraid to be vulnerable. We're afraid to be authentic because when we do that, we show weakness. We show people that there's something going on in us that somehow makes us less of a person. Church, do you see how messed up that is? What's vulnerability? It's being open. It's being honest with somebody else about your own weakness. Is spiritually empowering. It's empowering when you're vulnerable. Gee, many. It makes you stronger because when you're vulnerable, you get power. You get grace. James 4:6 says this: God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to those who are humble to say, I'm a mess. What's grace? It's the power to change, to get something you don't deserve, but you get it anyway. How do I get God's grace? By being humble, by being weak, by being saying, here's who I am. Vulnerability is not only spiritually empowering, it's also emotionally healing. It takes the things in us that hurt, and it heals those emotions so we can move on and we're not stuck going on the same thing. I'm going to be very straight with you. James 5:16, one more time. We read it at the beginning. Confess your faults with each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Do not go past that. If you want is just to be forgiven, you don't need to confess your faults to anybody. But if you want to be healed, listen. If you want to be healed, you need to tell somebody else what's going on. You need to share. And if you don't have that somebody, you need to pray, God, lead me to somebody that I can trust. Lead me to somebody that I can tell. Confess your faults with each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. Well, Jeff, I can't tell anybody. Then you're going to stay stuck in your weakness. And you're just going to keep peddling, and you're going to keep trying. I'm over here trying, Jeff. I'm toughing it out. Here I go. Look at me. When you're vulnerable and you admit your weakness, and you can laugh at yourself a little bit, and you don't take yourself so seriously, then God starts to do something in us that we never, ever thought was possible. 2 Corinthians 6:11, then I'm going to close, says this. 2 Corinthians 6:11. This is Paul talking. Listen to the realness in his, listen to the vulnerability, listen to the authenticity of his voice as he talks, it, like maybe you've never heard before. Just listen. We speak with complete honesty, hiding nothing. We speak with this honesty, hiding nothing, sharing our true feelings, opening our heart wide to you. Opening, what does that mean? That's vulnerability. He's opening up his heart and he's saying, here's what's going on in my life. I want you to know, me, Paul, the greatest leader in the New Testament, probably, I got nothing, not at all the greatest leader, but one of the greatest leaders. He is saying, I don't have it all together. I'm scared, he goes on to say in this passage. He goes on to say, everything that we're doing is falling apart. I don't understand it. Paul was one of the greatest examples of what it means to be vulnerable and to be authentic. It behooves us as a church to grab onto this. And so we end with these three things. Number one, how do I be weak? What does that mean? What does it mean if I'm weak? God is strong in me. Number one, we've got to admit our frustrations. We've got to admit that we're frustrated to other people. We've got to admit the way that our parenting style is going, it's not working. We've got to admit that the way we're handling our finances, it's not working. We've got to admit that the way that we're handling our temper, it is not working. And it's frustrating me to no end. Second, in weakness, we've got to admit our faults to each other. I'm having trouble. I'm yelling at my spouse. I'm having trouble. I'm yelling at my kids. I'm having trouble. I'm gambling and I shouldn't be. I'm having trouble and I'm doing, you know, whatever. It's admitting those faults. And then in weakness, we admit our failures. Here's what's gone on with me. There was a lady that I did something, honey, I shouldn't have. We looked at each other. We went out. We admit our faults with each other. We are honest with each other. It gets very specific. Romans says this, Romans 7:18-19. Paul, being one of the most vulnerable leaders there is, he not only says in one spot, he says, I'm the worst sinner. He says this, and it's my life verse says this, Romans 7:18-19. For I have the desire to do what is good, I do, but I cannot carry it out. I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, I keep on doing. There's an admission by one of the heroes of the faith. Why can't we be like that? See, that's not just admitting your frustrations and faults. It's admitting that you're vulnerable, that you're vulnerable with God's people, that you let people know what's really going on in you. Because a lot of you, the fakeness that you're putting out there, we see through it anyway. You're just a bunch of fakes. God is calling the church to start pulling off the mask. I'm not telling you to stand up in front of church and tell everybody that. I'm telling you to find somebody. Find a group. If there is no group, make a group. Say, we're the group that's going to come together and we're going to confess our faults and we're going to pray with each other. That would be a great group. I'd join it. Anybody want to head it? Lastly, we admit our fears. He says this in 1 Corinthians, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message, my preaching were not wise and persuasive words. In other words, Paul, who is a great orator, he says, I came with, it wasn't about my words, but it was a demonstration of what? The Spirit's power, so that faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power, not on what I can say. That's why I stand up here every week and I say, God, don't let me say the things that I want to say. Let me say the things you want me to say. Because honestly, most of the stuff I say, it's stupid. But the stuff that God says, that wants me to say, it's stuff that we need to hear. Stuff that I need to hear. says, I came to you in fear and trembling. And I think that's the way we got to go to our neighbors and our friends. I'm scared to death to tell you this, but I got to share with you. Here's what's going on. When we do that, God will heal you. You will not continue to go through the same stupid things every day. Identify those weaknesses. Commit to being open and authentic, to being vulnerable enough, and just saying, here's who I am. If you do that, you're on the road to spiritual maturity. If you don't, you're going to walk out of here and you're going to just keep doing the same thing the same way every day. So here's my prayer for you today. It's in Isaiah 35, verse 4. It's not on the table. I just want you to listen. If you close your eyes as the band comes, listen, just listen. Say to those that are fearful and hurting, be strong. Do not do what you do, only for your God is going to come and he will heal you. I guarantee you, if you are real with others, if you confess your sins, God will meet you. He will do what only he can do. Are you here today and are you fearful? Are you here today and are you full of faults? Yes. Are you here today and you're full of just intrepidation of facing tomorrow because you've messed up so many ways? God would say to you, good, be weak so I can be strong in you. This is our ministry time. The band's going to play. And I want you, right where you're at, to ask God to come into your heart again, maybe fresh, maybe for the first time. But every one of you, those of you that think you're the old pros and you've heard this 1,000 times and you got it down and everything is honky-dory in your life, good, good. I want you to, one more time, to say, God, bring that fresh wind, that fresh fire into me today. You do what your Holy Spirit wants to do in me. Push my stuff aside. Allow me to open up myself, to open the door, to open the windows.